Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Iron Brew Podcast, Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard, Matt Ellis. Well, it's the episode that's been coming for a long time, really, isn't it? In many ways, almost since we've started this podcast, this is something that's not just happened this season. It's been 2, 3, 4 years in the making. But after 72 years, Scunthorpe United have lost their Football League status and will be in the non-league next season. So, like I say, it's been coming, hasn't it? Everybody I know sports Scunthorpe has accepted it, and I don't think anybody genuinely thought we'd stay up this season. But now, mathematically, officially, it has happened. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think you're right with that. I think, you know, I was thinking about this earlier on, and we've been saying, as you say, from the very start of this podcast, sort of last 3 years, that, and you know, it seemed a long way off then when we were in League One and kind of towards the bottom of League One. But I think we all, you know, we could see it coming a mile off. And, you know, I think the most disappointing thing is that there's been time to kind of stop this and to try and turn things around, and it's just got worse and worse. And you're exactly right with that. You know, it's been coming for a long time. And, you know, we saw it at the start of this season. We thought, you know, it was only a matter of time. It's just the way it's happened. You know, we've become the whipping boys, really, and it's just difficult to watch. You know, every game could be 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, could have been 8 maybe yesterday if Leighton Orient have taken all the chances. And, you know, it's just we've not gone down with any fight. Just down with a whimper, really. I mean, I wouldn't even say a whimper. You know, we've just rolled over. And yes, the players probably aren't good enough. We've known that for a while, but unfortunately, you know, there's just nothing there. We just don't know kind of where to begin with it, really. We're kind of in limbo now, with Swan looking to sell the club. Obviously, until that happens, I don't see how the club can plan for moving forward. I think, you know, yes, it was obviously everything was confirmed yesterday, but you're right, it's been on the cards for a long, long time.
It's obviously no surprise. We've sort of been dying for the past sort of 6 months to a year, haven't we, really? It was always going to be a bit of a strange one, because it's not like kind of one of those relegations where, you know, you could have stayed up if you won another game, or you've lost it on the last game of the season. You know, it's just been, I don't know, a dodgy refereeing decision. The truth is, you know, we've just been, you know, we've not been performing at a league level or a professional level for a long time now, and that's kind of just been pretty much what happened at Orient. It's what happened pretty much every kind of game in recent memory, to be honest. We've just not done anything that a normal Football League club would do. You know, we've not turned up, we've not competed in any way, we've not defended, we've not tried to score, you know, nothing. It's just been a joke. We're almost like a club that, or a team that's kind of won some sort of competition to play in a professional game, really. And it's been like that for most of the season. And for the past sort of like 2 or 3 months, we've just been a complete laughingstock. And, you know, pretty much every game we've played, we just kind of knew from the outset that we weren't going to get anything from it, unfortunately. And it's, you know, it's as you said, Matt, we've not even gone down with a whimper. We've just sort of disappeared off the face of the earth. We've just sort of dissolved, haven't we? You know, and the team, the club, put up no fight whatsoever. Like, it didn't really give a shit that it was going to be relegated after 72 years. You know, the town is losing a huge kind of community asset in terms of a Football League club. And most worrying of all, we are, as you said, completely stuck in limbo. And that is sort of probably the kind of the worst thing about it, really, because there is seemingly no direction, and obviously there's going to be no investment until Swan goes from anybody else. There's going to be no a lack of interest from fans while Swan remains the owner of the club, and we can't plan, we can't budget really effectively. for what is going to be a very difficult season next season. So unless kind of the ownership situation is sorted out in the next sort of 2 or 3 months max, you know, really we're looking at relegation again next season.
Yeah, let's come on to Swan and ownership in a minute, because obviously there's stuff's gone on with that recently, which we'll have a chat about. But you mentioned there, Matt, and I said it at the start, you know, 72 years of being a Football League club. Even though there is inevitability about it, let's just focus on that for a minute, because the National League's changed, hasn't it? There's big, big clubs down there. There's big money there. It's still a very significant point in this club's history, isn't it, that we have lost Football League status?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, in the back of, I don't know, you're kind of clinging on to the fact that, you know, you'd hope that we might just be good enough. Sort of at the start of this season, we knew the players that had been brought in were not great, but I don't know, you were just hoping that there may be a couple of teams worse than us. And you know, League Two is a very poor league. And you look at the National League, as you say, teams have kind of strengthened. They're spending big money, sort of teams that are spending the same amount as League One teams, you know, on players. So it's going to be very difficult for us to compete. Whether the salary cap comes in, I don't know, that's all up in the air, who knows. But these clubs have got sort of squads in place that, you know, you're looking at it and you're looking at sort of the majority of League Two. I think you could probably put at least the top half of the National League into League Two, and I think they'd all pretty much be okay and survive. You look at the clubs that come up, very rarely going back down in the same direction. So, yeah, it's massive for us. It's just, you know, a massive failure, really. You know, I think everyone, more or less everyone, remembers Scunthorpe United as a Football League club, you know. And it's just a shame it's happened like this. As we said earlier, you know, it's been going on for the last 3 or 4 seasons, and there's been ample opportunities really to try and stop that slide, and it's just not happened. And you know, we saw it coming a mile off. I think the fans could see it coming, but unfortunately, you know, the board just haven't been able to do anything about it, or you know, whatever they've done hasn't been enough. And you look at the table now. I mean, it's not just the fact that we're going into the National League. You look at the table, you look how far adrift we are, and you know, there's a very good chance that's going to get even worse between now and the end of the season. Minus 50 goal difference. I mean, that is absolutely diabolical. And you look at it, I mean, in the past sort of 2 or 3 seasons, the amount of sort of games we've managed to win, I don't think there's another team out there that's in that kind of form. You know, Southend were, but then you know they've turned it around a little bit this season. And I think we must be, if you look at kind of across the leagues, we must be one of the worst sides form-wise over the last couple of seasons. So it's been coming. We know it's been coming. And yeah, I think everyone's kind of resigned to it from a long time ago, really, at the start of the season. A couple of months in, you could see what was coming.
Well, that's an interesting thing, actually. Let's just pick up on that, because the sort of collective reaction that I've seen has, it's more been a little bit like this. It's sort of somber, you know, acceptance. We knew it's coming. What about anger? Where are you on the sort of anger scale about this?
Yeah, it is. You know, I think everyone is. But again, as you say, because it's been coming for so long, and we've kind of, I suppose, you're a bit numb to it now, I think. Obviously, you're angry, everyone's upset, you know, disappointed that it's happened. But yeah, there is sort of, because we've kind of accepted that it was coming, and yeah, it is at the moment anyway. Obviously, yesterday after the game, you're angry, you're upset with it. But yeah, there is that numbness for me. You know, I'm still going to games, but you know, it's...
I think Monday will be interesting in terms of how does it respond at a home game, at the next home game.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, we saw a little bit of trouble at the last home game. Obviously, the protests, stopping play, things like that. But I think the club have got the grassroots day. So they've got some kids down from the schools and things like that. And it would be a shame if something like that, you know, were interrupted. But I do think between sort of now and the end of the season, you're looking at that Hartlepool game, I think we will see, you know, if anyone bothers to turn up, I think we're going to see those sort of protests again, and kind of interruptions to the game and things like that. Because I just think that's where people are at the moment with it. although Swan has said that he's speaking to parties and actively trying to sell the club, I think there's a growing number that, you know, that they're either not going to go or they're not going to kind of let these games play out, especially the home games play out when he's still at the club. And I think that's just where we are. And I think, unfortunately, until the sale's complete, you know, we're going to see that more and more unrest really from the fans, unfortunately.
Well, should we just, let's have a little look at the statement, if you can call it that, because I think it comes in here. You know, they tweeted yesterday that full-time 3-0. There was no acknowledgement of relegation yesterday. There was a statement put out earlier on today. I might as well read it because it's not going to take long. It's from Lee Turnbull, who, again, I think we can come on to discuss in a minute. It says, following the disappointing result at Leyton Orient, relegation to the National League was confirmed. After 72 years in the Football League, we must now prepare ourselves for a new dawn, a new era, and focus on the future on and off the pitch. The next few months will allow us the opportunity to move the club forward and provide a platform to build towards next season. And that's it, you know. And I think it's a difficult situation for them. I can see that whatever they put out, they're going to get comments. You know, if they put out some sort of thing saying, okay, this is how sorry we are, this is what's happened, I bet a lot of people would be like, okay, that's just words. It doesn't mean anything. Because as you say, while Peter Swan's in charge, I think you're going to have a certain set of that fans that won't accept literally anything that come out of the club. Having said that, we needed more than this.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, any statement was kind of going to be jumped on social media, given the fact that we were obviously relegated yesterday. But I just think that one kind of falls short of the sort of, I don't know, sentiment that's expected kind of from fans who've seen their kind of, you know, their hobby, their Football League club disappear, really. And I kind of tweeted earlier just saying it was kind of a statement that sort of befitting our current plight, really, you know, absolutely and completely inadequate given the gravity of the situation. But, you know, what we've come to expect from the club, their PR is dog shit on the best, you know, on the best day. You know, it's dreadful. It's never been very good. That was terrible. You know, and obviously this is supposed to be from a figure who is, you know, Scunthorpe United through and through, really long history with the club, Lee Turnbull. And it just seemed like a bit of a pathetic statement, to be quite honest. But, you know, what can we do? It's irrelevant, really. It doesn't really kind of mean anything. It's just kind of nonsense. The real talking is, you know, if the club can manage to kind of change the ownership.
Yeah, I agree. I think, obviously, Lee's in a very difficult situation, only been in the building a couple of weeks since he's returned. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be Lee Turnbull at the minute. I think he's got a hell of a lot on his plate. And unfortunately, I don't think it's come across in the right way, to be honest. I think it's come across, you know, a little bit sort of out of touch with how the supporters are feeling at this moment in time. I think everyone just expected a little bit more, as you say, Matt, especially from Lee. You know, he always comes across as a decent bloke. And I think from what he said when he was on the radio, things like that, you know, he wants to get fans involved. He wants to kind of try and get them back on side, if you like. I just think it was sort of for me, we better put something out. Let's just knock something together in 2 minutes and press send. And I think that's how it felt for me. And I was a little bit disappointed. I would have expected a bit more. You know, I know it's a difficult situation because he can't really say anything about the takeover that's going on. You know, there's not a lot he can say, but I thought it was very sort of, you know, straight to the point, and that's it. And, you know, I think it just missed the target really with a lot of fans. So yeah, it was disappointing. But, you know, I can kind of understand there's not a lot he can say at this moment in time. Obviously when things do happen and you know, if a takeover happens, then obviously I'm sure he'll give us some more information as and when. And I know he did meet the fans yesterday, some fans in the pub round from the ground. So, you know, that's, I think Neil was there and Lee. So that's, you know, that's positive. And I think he was speaking to, you know, fans about certain things. And that's good. You know, I think there might be a fans forum coming up as well. So I think that kind of opens the conversation up again between the fans and sort of the board. But yeah, we needed more, I think. And unfortunately, as you say, Brad, I think whatever the club put out at the moment, you know, there's always going to be people slagging it off. But I think on this occasion, they're probably right to do that because, you know, it just wasn't enough and it was a bit inadequate given the gravity of the situation.
Well, you mentioned Neil. He sent us a statement earlier on, didn't he? So I will read it out. Obviously, I think it will need to go out in writing as well, if that's coming from the sort of his capacity as fan director, because obviously, you know, not everybody's going to be listening to this. But this is from Neil, sent to us earlier on. It says, first and foremost, as a lifelong fan, I, like you, am hurting right now. It's a relegation which is hard to take. As a director, I just need you to be reassured that players, staff, directors, and everyone connected with this club is hurting too. We need a time of reflection on what has happened and then to take a positive steps towards next season. We will be planning to ensure that we bounce straight back. Unfortunately, we just haven't been good enough. Together, as fans, it is important that we undertake together this journey to get this club where it belongs, back in the EFL. So, yeah, I mean, that's the sort of stuff that I was anticipating a little bit more from the club. But, you know, that's sort of what it is. Thank you, Neil, for sending that through. Right, shall we? Let's go to Turnbull, actually, because we haven't talked about this. So obviously, a significant thing that Peter Swan has stepped aside as chairman. He obviously still owns the club at this stage. What did you make of Lee Turnbull coming back? So obviously, he's given up a job to do this, hasn't he? He was at Peterborough. I don't know. It seems an odd one to me.
Yeah, I think you're right, because obviously he'd only just come to Peterborough as well. I think he'd only been there a couple of weeks. And I heard about this a couple of nights before it happened. And I've been tipped off about it. And I was thinking, surely not. I just didn't think that was going to happen. I couldn't see it because of obviously what happened before. He'd obviously left, made redundant, if you like. And then obviously Will Swan came in a few months later to sort of fill that role. For me, I just... It was an odd one, really. However, you know, I think he probably, you know, his connection with the club, he probably just wanted to come back and help and you know, fair enough. We'll see what happens. But I was with you, yeah, exactly the same as you. I was just thinking, a very odd move. And you're just wondering whether potentially that he's had some kind of contact with whoever is looking at buying the club and maybe he's sort of part of the deal and he'll be in place if and when a takeover does happen. So it might be that he's acting as a bit of a middleman at the moment. You know, we don't know. I mean, we can speculate all you like. I mean, one thing is for sure, you know, Lee is Scunthorpe United through and through, isn't he? He's been there at the club. He's had so many roles at the club. But yeah, I am surprised to see him back, particularly sort of the way he left. And, you know, decent job at Peterborough. Championship club with obviously Grant McCann, Cliffy Byrne. So to leave that so soon, you know, there's got to be more to it, I think, than just coming in as a temporary basis. I think he must see it as a long term, or been given reassurances that it will be a long term post.
I find it quite bizarre, actually. To be honest, from where I'm kind of sat, as you said, Matt, he's made redundant by the club to be replaced by Swan's son, and then leaves Peterborough after being there for a few weeks. And the kind of situation is we've got kind of an owner who's trying to sell, and a chief operating officer who was ahead of recruitment a few weeks ago. So for all intents and purposes, it looks like we're up shit creek without a paddle, to be quite honest. And I found it very, very strange when that was announced. And that's the kind of just the way it is. That's a cold light of day. That's where we are, unfortunately, at the minute. But as you said, Matt, you know, he's got a long-standing affinity with the club. But you know, I assume that was kind of, I don't know, damaged, if you like, when he was made redundant to be replaced by a member of the Swan family. So it's all very, very strange. And this isn't how you run a football club, is it? Come on.
The timing of it as well. If you think back, the timing of it, it was only about a week or so, was it? If I remember right, after Simon left as well. Do you think that sort of played a part in anything? Because obviously there was a big sort of backlash to Simon going, wasn't there?
I don't know. I mean, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. obviously, Simon not really said anything since he left. And I'd expect that, really. I think we mentioned at the time, you know, we're probably going to see a statement from the club saying he's left and thanks for his time, you know, that he spent at the club this season. That's exactly what we got. You know, it's never going to turn into a sort of slanging match, I don't think. And, you know, we'll never know really what happened there. So, you know, we whether that's... it was odd timing because, you know, you look at it. But I do think, I mean, there were people speculating saying, well, you know, Simon would have been good for that role. I honestly don't think Simon had the time to dedicate to that. You know, you need someone in, especially with the club as it is at the moment, you need someone in there full time. And obviously Lee comes in and is able to do that. And I know, you know, I think it was the Peterborough newspaper, and it was sort of Peterborough scout now, yeah. Scunthorpe chairman. And you think, you look at it like that, and when you kind of see it laid out like that, you think, what the hell's going on? But I do think he has some really good qualities. I think he was there, you know, with the soccer school, community schools, you know, that kind of thing. He was kind of running that, wasn't he, for quite a long time. So he has got experience in running sort of organisations, and he does know the football side, and you know, you'd like to think he might have an input on signing, moving forward and things like that. But yeah, it was all a bit bizarre, but I think he has got the best interests of the club at heart, and hopefully, you know, obviously, as I said, he spoke to fans yesterday. There's a fans forum coming up, I believe, in the not too distant future. So I think between Neil and Lee, I think there is going to be a bit more engagement with the fans moving forward, which is what everyone's been asking for. So I think that's going to be a positive. But yeah, we'll just have to see how he does. But he knows the club inside out. You know, he knows the game. And, you know, he's done similar, I think, again, I don't know if it was Chesterfield. He went in at Chesterfield for a short spell and maybe one or two other clubs. So he's definitely got some experience. And, you know, wish him well with it, because he always comes across as a decent guy. But, you know, you just don't know where it's going to go. If new owners come in, will they want Lee long term? Who knows? You know, I think that you probably do need someone in that role, or, you know, a similar role if you're not kind of football minded, if you like. Because obviously a lot of these owners that come in, they're not football people. They've got the money, but they've no interest sort of in the football as such. Obviously, we want to see the team win, but they're not getting involved in that kind of thing. And I think Lee will be good for the day-to-day running of the football club. As I say, he knows it inside out, and that's where his expertise will come in. But yeah, who knows? I mean, it might be short-lived. It might not. We'll have to wait and see. But I think, again, it all hinges on what happens with the takeover. And I know you said, Matt, we ideally need it in the next couple of months. I mean, for me, you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, if I honestly don't think that they're going to get anywhere near the amount of season tickets they are hoping for. But you look at it and that money is going to be massive in terms of the budget for next season. And I think if we're going to do anything next season and we're going to have any kind of, you know, competitive side, I think it needs to be done earlier than that. I think, you know, it's probably best for all parties now. But if it wasn't done by sort of the end of May, I'd be getting a little bit worried, because, you know, you're looking at June as the time, well, July, but June, July as the time to identify the players, get them in early, because, you know, it's a massive rebuild job. It's not just bringing four or five players in and kind of bedding in with what we've got. You know, you're literally rebuilding the whole squad. That squad's got to gel, and it's got to be in place as early as possible. And at the moment, all we've got is young kids. And for me, I think it's going to be very, very difficult next season in that division. I think we're going to see more of the same. You're seeing it kind of now with Hill integrating the youngsters. They're really struggling. You could probably argue there's too many in that squad or in that first 11 at the moment. And I think it's going to be more of the same unless you get that kind of experienced spine, which we've been crying out for a long time. And then you kind of integrate your youth players in and around that. I think it's going to be very difficult, and I think it's going to be more of the same, where they're going to really struggle against some really experienced, tough sides and tough players. So yeah, as I say, a lot of things are up in the air, and we do need a resolution sooner rather than later. But, you know, he's all right saying that, but it is, you know, selling a football club is not a 2-minute task, is it? There's a lot involved, and you know, there's probably a hell of a lot of tape to get through. You think if the ground is included in any sale, which everyone would like the stadium to be included, well, if the stadium's included because it's the asset of community value, which the Iron Trust managed to get registered with the council, there's all sort of procedure that's got to be followed there, because obviously if Swan's going to sell the stadium, the trust actually, and maybe other parts, I'm not 100% how it works, but the trust definitely have a chance to put in a counter offer. Obviously they wouldn't if it's a new owner, but obviously I think it was with the goal in mind of keeping it as a football stadium for the football club for the you know, the long-term future. But because of that, you know, there's various things that need sorting out with that, and it's going to take time, but you know, we've not got much time, let's be honest. It needs to be done sooner rather than later, because otherwise we've seen fans staying away, we've seen fans saying they won't return while Swan's here. While I don't think it's going to be a massive, you know, we're not going to see thousands back, I do think it will be a considerable amount. And you know, you look on Twitter and there's people saying, I've got the money ready for a season ticket, but it's only if we've got new ownership, new ideas. And I think there probably is a lot in that boat. And their money might be the difference between having a decent, or I don't know what to expect really next season. But, you know, that money up front for the club could allow them to get in some decent players. But at the moment, I just can't see it. And I think it's a very, very difficult, delicate situation at the moment. But, yeah, it's who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, let's talk a little bit about next season before we go on to some comments, because we've had a lot sent in. You mentioned him there. I want to talk about Keith Hill a little bit. Where is he figuring in all of this?
This is a kind of a difficult one, isn't it, really? Because, you know, we're in a horrendous situation, you know, complete turmoil, sort of off the pitch. You know, a squad of incredibly, you know, poor players. But, you know, Keith's an experienced manager, and he has brought in quite a few of those players in January, and we're still absolute garbage. You know, the despite that fact, there's been no fight, and I've been a little bit surprised by that, because kind of you had expected some kind of degree of sort of professionality on the pitch, some degree of you know, sort of, I don't know, really, kind of players know what they're supposed to be doing. But really, we've not seen that for some weeks. There was a time where we did look better under Hill, but that's long gone now, and we've been sort of abject and absolutely awful for a long time now, haven't we? And I think that's kind of surprised me, and it's probably surprised kind of a lot of Scunthorpe fans that we've managed to kind of remain as bad as we are under a very experienced and kind of well-regarded manager at this level. And yeah, I do find it incredibly strange. But what do we do? You know, surely sacking him isn't the answer. I still probably will be surprised if he is here next season. I know he says he's going to be, and I know Peter Swan said he will be the manager next season, but I still think it's probably a big ask to expect him to drop down to kind of National League level. But you know, I'd like to see him stay and kind of sort of be given the summer with an actual budget to kind of build some sort of squad that can compete again, because again, we've not seen that for a long time, a squad that can compete at any level. And you know, I think that this current squad will struggle immensely to compete next season in the conference. So you know, the order of the day really is to get rid of absolutely all of them and probably keep some of the youngsters, as we said, because of the investment value there, and kind of use them sparingly, because I agree with what you said, Matt. I think that we're using too many of them at the minute, and we're just looking like an amateur team. We're looking like a pub league team every weekend, and that's not what the fans want to see. That's why there's no fight and no kind of real idea of what we're doing. You know, we can't defend, we can't attack. It's abysmal, but it's been like that for ages. But I think that, you know, that needs to be what we do. Keith stays, he absolutely shreds the squad, and brings in players who can compete. But you need money to do that, to compete against some of the big teams, which are much bigger than us. in kind of the conference next season and where we are at the moment, with the chairman looking to sell and with very few people kind of wanting to renew or buy season tickets until that situation is resolved. We're in a, you said, a delicate position. I agree. I think it's incredibly precarious. And I think that if it's not sort of resolved and we don't see some investment into the playing squad, that we are looking at disappearing out of the Football League pyramid that we've seen with clubs like Boston, with Scarborough, you know, with York, with Darlington, Chesterfield, until kind of recently they've been a bit better in the conference. All clubs are very similar sizes to us. And if we don't get the budget right and what we need next season, then we're going to be looking at another season of relegation. And it, to be quite honest, if we went down and we played the same squad that we've got now, we would get relegated probably by Christmas, I'm afraid, because they wouldn't be able to cope, because it's a tougher league than League Two. There's probably more money in it at the minute as well. You know, so that's where we are. I've gone off on a tangent a little bit, but I think for now, I'd like to see the current manager stay, under the proviso that he does actually get some funding this time, because he didn't get much in January and he brought in some absolute shite. So that's where we are, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of ways of looking at it, I suppose. And one is that you look at his track record. You know, he has been a decent manager in the past, and you think, could we get someone in, or, you know, for next season, with a better track record? Who knows? I honestly don't know. I don't know if we could or not. He appears to want to stay, but obviously we don't know whether there's a contract signed or whether that's been agreed sort of verbally. I don't know. It's, again, that's not really been confirmed. But, you know, if he's here for another year, if they're saying he's here for another year, then so be it. But, you know, if new owners come in, they might not fancy Hill, they might, you know, want their own man in charge, which so often happens. So again, I don't think it's cut and dry that he will be the manager next season. And you look at it, you know, he's very experienced in League Two, done really well with teams in League Two. But one of my main concerns is that he's never managed at the National League level. And I don't know, you look at the teams that come up from that level, and they've all got managers that have kind of been in and around that level for a few years, or, you know, they've had experience of it. And, you know, that worries me a little bit, because, you know, I don't know whether he's got enough knowledge on that level. And, you know, he's a very experienced manager, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but, you know, I just think potentially that there may be someone else out there that's worked on a limited budget in the National League that we could maybe convince to come in. But as it happened, you know, at this moment in time, it sounds like he's going to be here next season. And you know, we either way, you know, we've got to get behind him. You know, I'm just disappointed with how it's all happened, really, because, you know, I did expect better. You know, his record this season has been abysmal, and the players that he brought in January, I know, you know, you've got to. Yes, he had a really poor budget to work with. Yes, he's kind of just essentially rearranged the deck chairs on the Titanic. But you know, the players that he brought in, you know, there's many of those now that are not even getting in the side. I think Feeney's the one that's kind of been there, been a mainstay. And obviously Grant, when he wasn't suspended, he's been kind of playing week in, week out. But some of the others that were brought in, you know, Nuttall's back on the bench now, and Burns, you know, we've not seen much of Burns, and Pike as well. You know, we've not seen much of him on a regular basis. So although we brought the players in and he brought the players in, I actually, yeah, you know, he's not actually been playing them that much. So, you know, whether there were an upgrade on what we had, I don't think there were, but, you know, he had to do something, I suppose, in January, and was limited by what he could do. And unfortunately, it's been nowhere near good enough. But I just think he talks a good game. You know, you listen to his interviews and you can't help but like him, really. I think he's, you know, he comes across well. But again, there's got to be, you know, there's got to be something for the fans to kind of look forward to next season. It's okay coming out and basically coming out with all these words, but you know, there's got to be action behind it. And at the moment, I'm not convinced that he's the man to take us forward. Now, it's a shame because I thought he would be. I thought he would be the man that came in and steadied the ship. And, you know, I hope he proved me wrong, but I just can't see it. I just think, you know, if it was me, new owners, I'd be looking at someone who's got experience in the National League and that can work with a relatively limited budget, who knows that level, because you're going to need players, National League players, you know, that have been there, done it at that level, to kind of complement what we've got at the moment, which is essentially a few talented-ish young kids. You know, that's not going to be enough. So for me, we need someone who knows the level. But if it's Hill, you know, we've got to get behind him. We've got to give him, you know, a summer, if it is going to be, to kind of mould the team. As I say, he says all the right things, but, you know, I think it's time that, you know, something was, we saw some tangible evidence that he is going to move the club forward. And I'm not sure we've seen anything as yet. You know, I think he's saying something when we'd have been no worse off with Cox in charge at the moment, let's be honest. We probably, yes, we would be relegated, but, you know, it's Hill, apart from a few games, when he first came in, we looked okay. We started drawing some games, but actually, not been very good at all, to be honest, and I've been really disappointed with him.
Okay. All right. Well, you're saying he's talking a good game and all of this, but like the interview yesterday, what about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is it. I mean, you can listen to him and, you know, he does the ones in the week and you can find yourself agreeing with him at certain things. And, you know, he comes out with a lot of words and, you know, I think he's a likeable guy, but sometimes, and we've seen it with other managers, that you start to think, is this guy for real? You know, is he a little bit delusional? And I think we saw it with McCall, you know, the various Andy Dawson. You could go through the list, really, and we've kind of seen that. You know, one manager I did think a little bit at the time was Adkins, and I know he turned out fantastic and our best ever manager, you'd have to say. But there were days in the Championship, and you turned him on, you know, after the game, and you're just thinking, what's he on about? You know, you've just been beaten 4-0 or whatever, and he's coming out with all the positives, and you know, at times then you just wanted to throw the radio out the window when you were kind of hearing Adkins speak. And I think we're in a similar situation with Hill, where he's really positive, tries to find the positives in kind of any situation, but sometimes it does come across as a little bit, you know, delusional. The fans probably can see right through it, really. And that's what I mean when I say, you know, he comes out with all these words, he talks a good game, but you know, there's a time where, you know, you've got to put that into action, and we've got to see evidence on the pitch that what they're working towards in training and all these things is actually going to kind of come to fruition. Because yeah, I think he's... It's difficult because after the game, you know, you're in the heat at the moment. After the game, you're upset, you're disappointed. But then some of the things he does say, you know, it's sort of very samey, isn't it? It's the same old stuff every week, and there's not a lot of progress being made on the pitch, if any. And I think that's what will probably rub fans up the wrong way, ultimately, in the end.
Right, Matt, let's go over to you then. So we've asked for comments, haven't we? So let's start off. Go through some of those as we start to bring this to a close. So, yeah, take us through some.
So I put a tweet out earlier today just to try and kind of get some reaction just from, you know, fans who obviously not be quite, you know, very happy at the moment. And I'll just pick some out. I'm just going down my kind of timeline. So the first one, Ian Moore says, so much wasted resource over the last 4 to 5 years, being told repeatedly that the budget isn't there, but imagine we hadn't wasted so much on crap players and sacking managers. Our recruitment was the envy of League One and League Two a few years ago. There's net a way back for this Scunthorpe United. So George Young has said, stop being angry years ago. Now he's just sad. This has been in the post for 5 to 6 years when we throw money at the team and not putting any foundations in place to support that long term. But, you know, even if we could see it coming, not sure anybody thought it would be this bad. You know, that's a good point. I probably agree with that.
I'll just jump in there, Matt, actually, because that's a really good point about the foundations and things like that. And I think when Swan came in, he promised the new stadium, he promised this and that. Or, you know, that was the plan for the club. But even when we were sort of doing well in League One, I thought at the time there could have been more effort. You know, the training pitch is awful. You know, ex-players have joked how bad it is. You know, that one that's at the club opposite, which used to be the Overspill car park. You know, players take the piss out how bad that is. You know, players that have left. I think Jack King called it, you know, Farmer's Field, basically. I saw that on Instagram. But, you know, there was a time there when, you know, we were doing well on the pitch and it could have been really, you know, useful for the club to, I know we started with the under-23s, but we kind of sacked that off for financial reasons. But it would have been a good time to look at some training facilities, try and kind of get some really top facilities rather than just that field and kind of build that way. Bringing the youth through and trying to utilise the under-23s a bit more. I know we didn't, did we? Kind of stick at it for long enough. But I think that's a really good point that, you know, we tried to do all these things, but, you know, there could have been more investment, I think, at the time into the facilities and things like that. I mean, I think I would have preferred that than a new stadium or, you know, all the talk of a new stadium. And a real plan and sort of a pathway for the youngsters to kind of come through. That to me would have made more sense than spending the money on the stadium. And we know the stadium's tired, but you know there was an opportunity there when things were going okay to really build things behind the scenes and you know build up from that point of view. And I don't think we ever did that. And that's a massive shame because I think we had some good staff in place at the time. You know, footballing wise as well, and things were going okay. And then, you know, ever since then, it's just been sort of catalogue of errors, really, hasn't it? And just a downward spiral since then. But yeah, I think that's a really good comment. Completely agree.
Yeah, and I suppose kind of like you'd think that despite the fact we spent so much money on players trying to get into the championship, the fact that these players were training on basically the surface of the moon and kind of picking up so many injuries, which has kind of been a problem for us for quite a while, hasn't it, really? You know, they thought they would have addressed that with some of the funding, but obviously not. But again, just more financial mismanagement, I suppose. Another one, let's move on to a few more. Andrew Gravel says, does Hill seriously believe the young players are the future? Worrying, if so, I'd be happy to wave goodbye to every single player who's not sure they are even non-league quality, but worried that recruitment could be just as bad if Swan is still the owner in the summer. We obviously picked up on that, didn't we? Jamie Morgan says, I never ever thought that things would ever be so bad at this football club, a club that was once proud to be about. We were looked up to by so many other so-called small clubs, and these last two seasons particularly have been unacceptable. Sale Iron has kind of put a little thread together and he said, I've supported the club for over 50 years. It is critical to the town's identity and its biggest community asset, but we've seen it mismanaged by an owner who appears to have no sense that his biggest responsibility is as a custodian of the club as a community asset. He has been unaccountable on a board that comprises his family. The failure to engage and be open with fans and to learn from and take responsibility for mistakes has been fatal, and it's a shameful and desperately sad chapter in the club's history. And he kind of finishes with, if we ever bounce back from this, it could be a question of decades rather than years. I'm beyond sad and angry for myself, but also for the younger supporters who will be deprived of a league, who will be deprived of league football. I think that's quite a good one, actually. Carl Gack says, I pretty much gave up on the team a couple of years ago. It's been so obvious where we were heading for at least 5 years. Managed decline and bad organisation right from the top. And this is quite an interesting one, actually, from Ryan Middleton. He says, my biggest concern yesterday was when Hill says we can't compete financially with the likes of Leyton Orient. Why we've been competing with teams like these, like that for years. They're hardly massive. Hill completely threw the towel in around a month ago. Where have so many players gone? And that's kind of a good point, isn't it, really? Because a lot of players would be going AWOL. And we kind of spoke about that a little bit earlier, didn't we? Like kind of Burns, you know, who kind of started relatively solidly and he's just sort of disappeared off the face of the earth. And, you know, there's a few more, but I'll kind of just wrap up with this one, really, from from Alex. Not even angry anymore, just completely disillusioned. Probably the worst 4 years ever put together by a professional football club has took its toll on me. Swan has chewed me up and spat me out. He needs to go before the end of May, otherwise we will be relegated again. And I agree with that. And you know, very, very kind of similar sentiments. There's a few more, but they cover very much the same kind of sort of dismay, really, I suppose.
Yeah, just looking at that thread as well, Matt, there's just one there that I think might end on, maybe from Tom Holdsworth, says, who do we build a team around next season? And that's, I think it's an interesting point. I mean, you've put none of them, haven't you, at the minute? But yeah, well, it's basically true, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, normally you can kind of identify one or two players that you expect to be there next season, you know, and who've kind of got strength and they may, you know, kind of do well in any kind of team setup. But I think, unfortunately, at the moment, from my perspective, none, to be honest, you know, embarrassingly bad to call themselves professional footballers. Obviously, we'll want to keep some of the younger players just because of the development potential and kind of the new model that the club wants to kind of build around to be more sustainable. And you know, there is some kind of some talent in some of the youngsters we've got. But realistically, the kind of seasoned pros, in inverted commas there, really, they should be all turfed out and removed from the club, to be quite honest, because none of them are good enough to play in the Football League, and I doubt any of them will be good enough to play in the National League, unfortunately. So that's kind of where I am on that one, and I think it's just another wholesale rebuilding job, and we've had a few of those, haven't we? So I'm not particularly optimistic.
What about Feeney? I'm not saying build around him, but what about Feeney?
I mean, probably one of the only ones I would think would probably be okay, as long as his legs, you know, kind of,
I think he's here next season. That's all, isn't it? I'm sure he said he's one that's was on a 2 year.
I think so.
With Feeney, you know, he's not, given his age and his legs are going a little bit, you know, he's not an out and out winger, is he? So I think you're looking at where you could fit him, I think, more than anything in the side. But I do agree. I think he's probably one of the only ones. I mean, for me, I don't think we will, but I would have liked to see O'Malley stay. I think he'd be okay, you know, and I do like his attitude, but I don't think he's going to be here. Let's be honest. I think there'll be someone might take a punt on him. You know, Cribb's done okay in the last sort of couple of months. So it'd be interesting to see if he stays. But yeah, you're looking at that younger lot. You know, I think you've seen enough in Cribb and potentially Gallimore to suggest they may be okay. But other than that, you know, that's probably it. Personally, I think Feeney, for me, he's not done a great deal, but I still think he might be, if he signed up anyway, you know, I think we could do worse. And he is that bit of experience and you know, he's been there and done it. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him stay. Let's be honest. But yeah, the others, for me, no, you know, you're looking at sort of the goalkeeper situation. I would give one of the young lads a chance now in goal. You know, people are saying, you know, if it wasn't for Watson, we may maybe have minus 70 goal difference. But for me, I mean, just recently, he's been absolutely awful. Again, yesterday, I mean, what's he doing for that third goal? There's been examples in the last few weeks. You know, every game he's made a bit of a mistake. And people are saying that's our best player this season. You know, for me, I would cancel the Player of the Season awards because, you know, if he's going to win them all, he'd drop them all anyway, wouldn't he? So, so you know, I think that's just where we're at. If he's been our Player of the Season, it just shows how bad everyone else has been. And, you know, yeah, I honestly can't see any of them, apart from O'Malley, maybe, leaving and getting a league club. I'd be very surprised. And people were saying a few weeks ago, well, I think Watson will, but I honestly can't see it. I just don't think any of them. Be interesting to see what happens with Delaney. He came in for a couple of games. He looked okay, but just recently, I mean, yesterday again, embarrassing. You know, supposed to be a decent defender, but yeah, just awful. I know it's difficult when you've got a young lad at left back. is thrown in first game, and obviously he's skinned twice, two goals early on. It's difficult for Delaney probably on that side as well, trying to cover and help him out. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't keep any, to be honest. I mean, if we could keep O'Malley, great. Feeney, maybe. And then a couple of the young lads. But again, we don't want to be in a situation where all of those young lads are playing. And J. Rowe might be okay as a sort of a utility player. You know, he puts a lot of effort in. But for me, you know, for League Two, week in, week out, he's just not up to it, I don't think. But, you know, at National League, he might be okay. So we'll see. But yeah, I just don't think any of them are good enough. And that's just where we are.
You know, I agree with that. And I think one of the frustrating things with O'Malley is even though when he plays, we don't seem to kind of take advantage of his biggest asset, which is his ability to kind of deliver the dead ball, which is incredibly frustrating. He's got a great left foot. But I think that he'll be more than capable to play in a decent kind of League Two side. So I can't see him staying. You know, someone's going to snap him up. Watson as well. I mean, you know, come on. The problem is, I think, if he was to say he would struggle more in non-league than he would in League Two, because there's going to be a lot more aerial balls. There's going to be a lot more kind of robust play, if you like. And we know he can't take a cross and he can't catch. So that's another disaster waiting to happen, which has been every time we've started the season with him as number one. And again, we've seen it again this season, despite the fact that pretty much everybody can see it. And our best player this season, yeah, can't give it a rest. The guy's useless.
Right, I think let's end there. So, yeah, that's it then. It's done. National League next season. We'll come back again soon, because I am genuinely quite interested to see what the reaction is on Monday. As you say, Matt, there's the grassroots day. So, you know, I imagine the turnout's not going to be significantly altered, because I think it will have been boosted for that anyway. But it will be interesting to see sort of what the atmosphere is like, what the reaction towards the players is, and yeah. Right, thank you very much for listening to this. We'll see you on the next one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.